Brother Carol calling this Bible study. Now, there's nothing wrong. I mean, it's Wednesday night prayer meeting or, family night or whatever we call it. Dr. Lee Robertson, the founder and chancellor of Tennessee Temple Bible College and Seminary, said that Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, he said there were three to thrive. If you wanted to be faithful in your Christian walk, you needed all three of them. And he called the Wednesday night service the sweetest service of the week. And I've never forgotten that, and it has been. In order to study the Bible, and this is fascinating. Now, the handout is for time. I will be going through these passages instead of having you flip. I'd just rather for you to look. Now, if you follow in your Bible, that's fine. A little hard for me to do that now for some reason. I can get my phone out and tap better than I can flip. So thank the Lord for technology, that's for sure. But we'll get to them in just a minute. But Paul said, study to show thyself, okay, and we do that, but sometimes we don't really realize the rest of the verse, where he says, study to show thyself approved to the pastor and to the elders, you know, so they'll know that they can use you, and just in case God uses you and things like this, no. I was going to get out I found my old high school thing. I think I told you all this. Forgive me. I'll probably tell you again next time I'm up here, Lord willing. But I found my old high school report card. And I was going to show it to my kids. And I opened it up and looked at it, and they still haven't seen it yet. I was one of the worst ones for high school. I didn't grow up until I got to college, and I thank the Lord for that, finally, okay? But nevertheless, when we study, there's oodles. I mean, just bunches, many, whatever. Matter of fact, when the course, if you haven't taken it, when the course comes up, Methods of Bible Study, I believe that's what it's called, isn't it? Methods of Bible Study. I encourage you to take it, because it's fascinating. When Brother Turner taught it, as much as I've learned and enjoyed studying, I learned some things from him, and I appreciated it. You can't learn everything about the Bible. It's just impossible, okay? I've talked to people that have said, I've read the Bible, you can't tell me anything about it. Well, they were right. I couldn't tell them anything. That's for sure, okay? But I would like to start out with is for you to turn to Psalm 19. I love this passage here, Psalm 19. How many of you remember Lester Roloff and the Honeybee Quartet? You remember them? All right. I think of them every time I read this passage. Matter of fact, I was going to play it. I thought, no, you can Google it or YouTube it, whatever you want to do. It's called Psalm 19 and the Honeybee Quartet. I was privileged to start a few quartets in other churches that I've been to, and we didn't call them the honeybees because they were men. I called them the honeydews and honeydoers, and they didn't go for that too much. But it's a wonderful passage. Now, if you'll allow me to get my eyes on here, and notice Psalm 19, verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. An hour for each thought here, you know, converting the soul, okay? The testimony of the Lord is sure. I mean, we can build not only our life on it, we can build our eternity on it. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord, that's another phrase for the word of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. That's why we still have it. And our loved ones are going to have it, and our children's children, until Jesus comes, you know, then we'll still have the word with us because we'll be with him. Enduring forever, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey. And today, may I add, sugar, okay? Sweeter also than the honey.
Yeah.
And the honeycomb. Now that's why in verse 11 he says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, okay, about life. Remember Timothy, Paul told Timothy, you know, perilous times are going to come. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we're seeing that now. Do you realize that? Oh, they talk about Christianity in our government, and they talk about Christianity over the news, but you listen real carefully who they're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay? It ain't Christian, sweetheart. Okay? It's another denomination.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. And you just listen. That's all you have to do. Perilous times are going to come, he says. So moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. He warns us, in other words, he wants us to listen, and he gives us warning. But we miss the second part. We don't keep them. Okay? Can you imagine, I mentioned school a while ago, you know, having to do homework. Mr. Wilson, I had teachers that called me Mr. Wilson, you know. Did you read your history last night? No, ma'am. And I was honest because she could have asked me a question and I couldn't have answered it anyway. Mm-hmm. So I knew she was going to find out. And I'd say, no, ma'am. Being honest did not get me a good grade for some reason. It just didn't, okay? I wonder when we stand before the Lord. Now, he's not going to ask me if I did my homework. He's going to ask me, why? Why didn't you read? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you study? Well, Lord, everyone here is not a preacher. Everyone here is not a Sunday school teacher or a teacher or anything. So sometimes we get to thinking, I don't really need to study that much. I'm not a teacher. I know I might get a chance to once in a while, then I'll study. But that's not what Paul said. Study to show thyself approved unto God. When we stand before him, there's an old song, it says, you know, that when the meaning was, when I stand before him, I'll wish I'd have done much more. Oh my, you know, than what we can do. Well, as I've shared with you before, and I hope that you don't mind me doing it again tonight, our word studies, that's one of my favorite. But you can learn, okay? You learn about the Word of God. Remember, this book right here, yes, it was written by 40 some odd authors and some we don't know, I mean writers, but the author, we know who it is, and that's God himself, the Holy Spirit. So am I stretching it when I say this book came from the mind of God?
No.
Not really. Am I stretching it? Not in the least, because it did, you see. And when God had these men to write this this precious book, he knew that there were those who were going to obey him and study it. And all you can study verbs, I mean verbs, you can study phrases, you can just study the Word of God chapter by chapter and things like this. I think I've shared with you the fact that I enjoy writing the Bible. But let me tell you where I learned that from, okay? Now, before, I had a hard time going back and reading something that I've already read. And I'd pray, Lord, I know John 3:16. Why do I have to study it again? You know? And yeah, there are other passages and things like this, and you just wonder. But there, I was privileged to teach at Brother Hall's school at Central. And I was teaching high school in a Bible class. And I noticed one of my students, I didn't have that many, I noticed one of my students, while I'd given them a reading assignment, she was writing. I thought, not her. She's an honor student. She's not writing a note to somebody. They're not passing notes, surely. So I casually got up and walked, you know, and she knew I was coming, of course, but it didn't stop her from writing, and I thought, wow. And I come up to her, and I saw her reading whatever the reading assignment was. I forget whether it was the chapter in the Bible or something in the Bible or textbook. And she was copying what I had told her to read. I said, why do you do that? She says, my mother told me to. Now, I didn't ask her why, because she's an honor student. I remember that, okay? And I thought that was so fascinating. If you ever try it before, okay, just take a passage or a chapter or something like this. And just write it, okay? You see, I don't think there's anybody here that would have, but if I told you to turn John 3:16, some would have, some may not have, because we know it by heart, okay? But that's not the purpose of Bible study.
That's right.
You see? And when you get to John 3:16 and you're doing it the way that I try to do it, it gives God more time to talk to you through his word is what it does, okay? I have notebooks of things that I've learned just because I've done it, things that I'll never preach, okay? But wait a minute, I'm to do it to show myself approved unto him.
That's right.
You see? So if God, something should happen and I'm not ever able to get out anymore, but I can still read or I can still write, he'd still expect me to read his word.
Amen.
And that's the fascinating thing about it. We don't eat, you know, just when we're going to go to work or when we're going to work outside or something like that. We eat during the holidays too. We eat during the on the weekends when we're not working, okay? Well, we're to read and study the Bible that way. Now, I say read. We talk about study. And if you were like I was, you know, usually the word study will kind of give you a little shivers, you know. But you got to read it to study it. All right? And you just pick it out. So I want you to go with me, please, okay? Now, the word that we're going to talk about tonight is another Greek word. It's the Greek word tharsai. You ever heard it? I didn't think so, okay, because most people haven't, all right? When I had my first church, I had just got out of school, Bible college, and I'd taken a Greek thing, and I never forgot my Greek professor. He says, be careful, fellas. Well, our students, there were some ladies in there too. He said, some preachers can learn 4 or 5 Greek words and it makes them dangerous. They think they're Greek scholars, you know. Now, there's nothing wrong with it, but let me tell you why. It's interesting. All of us understand the word love. I love God. I love my wife.
Yeah.
And I love fried chicken. I use the same word, spelled it the same way for all three.
That's right.
And we all knew what I was talking about because of the subject. But the Greek's not that way. And talking about love that comes from the heart, that's agape. Some people think that's just godly love. No, it's just love that comes from, Paul talks about the bowels. We talk about the heart, okay? And no, it's not just godly love, because John 3:16 says, you know, agape, for God so loved the world. But in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he says, love not the world. That's agape. So you see, the same word that we can love God with. And then there's the word philos, or phileo. What city has that?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, right. City of brotherly love. Don't think there's much going on right now up there. Bless your hearts. But we need to pray for our country. Oh my. But seriously, that's what. And then there's another Greek word that's the Greeks use for love, and that's the word eros. Now that's not found in the Greek. That's not found in the Bible. You can search Greek text if you wanted to and things like this, and it won't show up. Well, nowadays it might would. Maybe I better be careful there. But it's not in the Greek text of the Bible. Now, we don't have the originals. Okay? They tell me that if they took the Constitution of the United States or the Declaration of Independence out of the vault that it's in and sunshine and air hit it, it would disintegrate. That's what I've heard, okay? And I find that fascinating, okay? I mean, notebook paper that I had years ago already turned yellow.
Yeah.
You know? And you can just imagine what happened to the old papyri when Matthew and Mark and all of them wrote their letter, and Paul wrote all of his letters and everything. So we don't have the original. God himself, he inspired the men to write it, but he preserved it for us. There is divine preservation. The translators weren't inspired. I'm afraid they weren't, okay? Even though we believe and we feel that the King James is the word of God, the translators, they weren't inspired like the writers were, okay? So, now if you'll forgive the Greek lesson, let's get into the Word and talk about it, all right? Look with me. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, that's why I gave you the handout, okay? And I mentioned the word pharsai. In the English spelling of it, it's T-H-A-R-S-E-I. Now, it's a Greek word. Okay? And we don't usually go around speaking Greek or anything. I'm a Greek student. I am not a scholar. Okay? I forgot his name, over at Tabernacle when I taught at Victory and at Central Bible College, I teach a course of Greek, but I got with him, and what I teach was, and is kindergarten Greek, okay? And I got with him, and if they wanted to pursue it, then they could go to Tabernacle and pursue, you know, the Greek language and everything. So I'm still in the kindergarten stage. I love using references. I love looking it up. And, of course, with our technology now, God has, he's made it easier. If you can study whatever time you study, if it's for 30 minutes or an hour, don't let the technology shorten that time. Let it enhance it. Oh, I love when I did the Greek, I did a word study on hell. And all they had was Strong's Concordance. And I looked up every reference to it, you know, and got a good grade out of it, praise the Lord. But you don't have to do that today. One of my Bible programs, all I got, you know, some of them that you can hit one tab and the KJV plus comes up, and that's the Strong's Numbers. And others, you just hit the word and the Greek comes up, okay? So what I'm talking about is just let it enhance your Bible study. Now, what are we talking about in Matthew 9, verse 2? The Bible says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. And you know the reference here. I won't have time to go to the to the context of all the passages. Sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus seeing, oh, this fascinates me, their faith. What does he say to the man who has palsy? He doesn't say, well, you got some real fine friends, you know, and boy, y'all must be close. Or didn't compliment him. He looked at the man who was sick of a palsy and he said, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. There's not a word here about the man confessing his sins. Mm-hmm. Or a man, the man even speaking to Jesus is not here. He may have. We never think that we have the whole conversation all the time. But the passage, but the phrase that I want you to look at is be of good cheer. Now the word cheer here is not, okay, when we think of cheer, we think of, I think there was a fabric detergent called Cheer, wasn't there? Yeah, I remember that. And then just cheer as far as merriment. And it was out back during the 60s and 70s when things were really looking bad, supposedly, you know, that someone would say that I was despondent. I was so sad. And I heard a voice within me that says, cheer up. Things could get worse. Yeah. So I cheered up, and things got worse. Yeah, that's supposed to be funny. Cheer. That's the way we think of the word now. And we use it just like I used the word love a while ago. But that's not what the Bible... Over there in Acts chapter 27, when... Paul told, remember they were going to shipwreck. Jesus stood in the night. Jesus himself stood next to Paul during the night and told him, not to be afraid, to cheer up. And he told the captain, the pilot of the ship and everything, and he told him, he says, be of good cheer. Now that was the word merriment, okay, like we think of when we cheer our team on, and things like this, okay? But that's not how it's used here. That's what I enjoy looking up, okay? What it is here, the word for merriment, when it's translated cheer, is the idea of where we get our word enthusiasm from. Now, we get a lot of our English words from the Greek. You know what a phobia is? That comes from the Greek word that's translated fear. The word baptize. Did you know it's not a translation? The meaning of the Greek word that's translated baptize means to dip, to put under. Now, I'm glad they didn't translate it that way. Can you imagine? I go to Sharon Dipper Church. No, it doesn't work that way. Okay. Now, that's the way God designed it. That's what I'm sharing with you. God designed it that way. However, he still says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're going to learn everything there is? No, we're not, okay? But it's fun trying. And that's what the thing is. So here, Jesus tells this man to be of good cheer because his sins are forgiven. Well, in the lesson here on the sheet I've got, look in 9:22. Not far in the chapter, he comes across a lady, and remember, she's following him. And the Bible says in Matthew 9, verse 22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Now, that comes from the same Greek word. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. Be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. That's what he was also talking about to the man that was in the palsy.
Yeah.
Okay? But there was something about them bringing that man. Okay? This lets me know that God looks very highly on bus workers and people who bring others to church and things like this, you see. And that's, of course, another message in itself. Look here, verse 22, as I said, thy faith has made thee whole, and the woman was made whole that hour. What a coincidence. Jesus said it, thy faith has made thee whole, and the woman was made whole. But you see, it was for a man who had the palsy. Here, this was for a woman. But that shows us that the word of God is for man, woman, boy, or girl, for everyone. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, you see. So that's so important. All right, go with me now to the next one. Now that's for suffering time. Suffering times. Go with me now to Matthew 14. This is when they're out on the sea during the storm. Jesus appears to them. They see him. And in Matthew 14, verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Okay? In other words, the word, I try to get into the minds of the translators, okay, since they weren't inspired, you know, but I mean, God used them, God led them. Don't misunderstand me, please, okay? But nevertheless, I try to get into their minds, and comfort is not here, all right? It's peace. Be of good cheer. Cheer up, you see. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Well, over here in Mark chapter 6, verse 50, he says, for they all saw him and were troubled. Now, this is the same incident. And immediately he talked with them and spake unto them. He could have revealed himself without saying a word. Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
He could have just appeared in the boat. But no, he knew what was going to happen. Of course, matter of fact, he calmed them. He started the storm. Okay? He created the storm. He created the water that he was walking on.
Right.
Okay. But what did he do? He spoke to them. That's what the Word of God is for. We don't hear him audibly. We will one day, but we don't now.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't hear his voice. He doesn't appear to us. He could. The Holy Spirit could appear to all of us and teach us from the pulpit up here. But he's chosen to use us, we human beings, okay? We who are saved. And the Bible teaches us, he immediately talked with them, said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid, okay? So I like this, and I appreciate the way when you get into it and looking at it, it's fascinating. Only the Word of God can bring this kind of comfort and cheer.
That's right.
Okay? I often wondered. Now, the Bible tells us this, and of course, Roman history bears it out, that the Christians were fed to lions. And the book of Hebrews bears that out. Well, it doesn't tell us when or how, but you know, but they were thrown to the lions, I believe the Bible says. Would that verse apply? You know? I mean, if we were, y'all remember studying about communism in high school, and that was something that happened years ago. Now we're hearing it over the news and seeing people possibly being communist or things like this, you know? And who knows, the youngest child that's represented here tonight, okay? I got a little 1-year-old Baby Grant, baby, let me show you how he's picking. No, I won't do that. By the way, if you will, please, pray for my daughter. She's in the hospital. She's got liver problems. I'll not go into details, but please, that's where my wife is tonight, or she would be here. So please pray for my daughter. Her name is Angela, if you would. But can you imagine when my great-grandson, he's a year old, and when he's in his 50s, what is our country, if we're still here, going to be like? You know, who was it? Look for communists. It was Joe somebody, wasn't it? Back during the 40s and 50s. And
McCarthy.
Yeah, McCarthyism. Thank you. And, but boy, he'd have a cow if he knew that we were elected. The country.
That's right.
Is electing them.
Yeah,
now, you know. So can we imagine what it's going to be like? And then if they rounded us up and took us out there and they were going to shoot us, I wonder if this verse would apply. You know, it's easy, isn't it, to sit here and to enjoy God's gift to Sharon Baptist Church, this beautiful sanctuary. But you never wonder, well, God comes in stormy times, we're to follow him. Oh, but wait a minute. Look there at Mark chapter 10, verse 9. Now, this is fascinating here. In Mark chapter 6, we looked at it. Now in Mark chapter 10, the Bible says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. There's that word again. And they. Boy, the missionary, I thought he had a good message with that.
Yeah.
Did you notice that both missionaries preached not the same passage,
that's right,
but they both of them were only a chapter away from each other. And both of them, both their messages, Jesus healed somebody and he spat.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them.
That's right.
Now, the Bible says, the first one, that he spat on the eye. Okay, not in the eye. On the eye. Now, the second one, the man had a speech impediment. Well, the Bible says he spit, Jesus did, but then he says, and Jesus spit and touched. Okay, he didn't spit into his mouth. The Bible doesn't say that, so we're not to think of that, okay? It could have, but he didn't. So he spat, he touched his mouth and everything. Now look, notice here, the Bible says, and they stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. You see, be of good comfort. Now it's the same word, it's the same idea, but the word cheer didn't really go here, you see. It was comfort. Maybe the man was worried. Why in the world does he want me? Or whatever it caused them to say, be of good comfort, you know. And, of course, the Lord healed him. We should listen when someone else tells us to cheer up. For the Lord needs us. The Lord wants to use us. And we never know. See, there's more to teaching than just standing behind a pulpit or sitting behind a desk. Sister Maria, she taught, what grade was it? Fifth grade. That's right, okay. I was right. I was a year ahead of her. I taught sixth grade. But teaching is more than that. Teaching, God can open the door and you start teaching without really realizing it. Forgive the personal testimonies, but that's all I have, okay? But I went to the dentist yesterday, and I've been to him for years. I joke about with him about, I've been with him so long, I've helped him put his girls through college. He jokes. He knows what I'm talking about and everything, and I get to talk with him once in a while. And yesterday I was talking He was talking about how things have changed and things like this. And I said, boy, I'm glad God doesn't change in his word. And I just made the statement and go on, yeah, and everything. And now he didn't say anything. He usually never does, but he listens.
That's right.
And I got to tell him about faith. Why I believe that God created the earth as if I was there and I watched him. God gave me a pedestal or a group of us or however many of us, and we watched him. Let there be light. And there was light. I believe God did it. No, I don't know how. But he did it.
That's right.
And I was trying to explain to the doctor, you know, that faith comes from the word of God. Mm-hmm. You see. Now we trust the pilot to know what he's doing when he gets us up there, you know, thousands of feet high and everything. But that's not the kind of faith I'm talking about. That's trust, and we trust in God. And it depends on who we have our faith in. There are those who have their faith in a church, in the rituals, traditions. Oh, my. And they've stopped calling them by their original name. They started calling them Christians. So when they speak of Christians on TV, it isn't necessarily independent Baptist
That's right.
Christians, okay?
That's right.
Probably usually isn't anyway. But now go with me. Oh, this is something else. The next one, John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Okay? He's speaking to the disciples now. John 16, that was the last night before he was crucified. Mm-hmm. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer.
Yes, sir.
I have overcome the world. That's interesting, isn't it? How he says that. Okay? He didn't say, be of good cheer. You'll be able to do it too. He didn't say, just be of good cheer now. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but you guys just stick together and just remember everything I told you. He didn't say that. Okay? He says, in the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Well, in reading the rest of the passage and the scripture and everything, we understand what he meant. We have him. He overcame the world. We have him. The Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory, okay? So I'm not going to argue with the scriptures. If I have the Holy Spirit and Christ within me, that's great, okay? How he can be in heaven and be in me, only God can do that. But nevertheless, if it's just the Holy Spirit, that's what he's talking about. I have overcome the world. So be of good cheer. He wasn't thinking of himself, even on the eve of his death. Okay? He knew what was going to happen. We use that term, doubting Thomas. May I respectfully correct something? Because I saw it in my Bible readings, okay? And you can search it out. When Jesus showed him his hand and his side and told him to thrust his fingers in, he said, look, I forgot the exact words, but anyway, he says, thrust in, and he said, and be no more unbelieving. Thomas didn't doubt. He just didn't believe it. There's a difference. Really. And now I've used doubting Thomas and will the rest of my life, okay? But if you want to use it correctly or scripturally, we want to be Bible-based.
That's right.
When Jesus grabbed Peter and he lifted Peter up out of the water, okay, he asked Peter, wherefore did thou doubt?
Mm-hmm.
Peter was the one that doubted, and it started causing him to sink. Okay, we need to be careful about that. But we as Christians, just like Judas, can be unbelieving in things.
That's right.
And we need to be careful,
yes.
You see. Here, he says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. May I add a little to that, Wilson version? He says, fellas, I'm not going to leave you. I'll be back. I'll be with you. And, yeah, we'll... he didn't say, I'll see you in the kingdom. He says, I'll drink with you in the kingdom. But he saw him again just 3 days later.
That's right.
You see. And this is what's so fascinating. So in times of sorrowful, now it's hard for us to think about it. We've been blessed here in America. And it's been hard for us to think of times like this. We hear it across the world, how they're Christian, killing Christians, and it just fascinates me to hear a young couple with, how many children did the missionary have going to the Netherlands? Okay, yeah, two little girls, wasn't it? Young family. God's calling them overseas. To the Netherlands, that's good. But God's still sending young couples out into the field. Doesn't he know what the world's doing now? They're killing them over there in Africa. Mm-hmm. Okay? Doesn't he? No, of course he does. But the word's still getting out, just like it did in Rome and in other places. Read Hebrews 11. When we get to heaven, people will probably, not literally, but be added to the chapter of Hebrews that talks about how they died for their faith. And missionaries have. What's going to become of these? Well, I have a nephew in Albania, and he has children. He's been there for quite a few years now, you see. And God has blessed. And then the brother going to San Francisco, that fascinated me, because I was out there when I was in the military. The ship I was on, it was home-based out there in Alameda. And I was out there. We were out there during the Haight-Ashbury time, okay. And it just fascinated me that God was sending somebody. It had gotten so bad, God was sending them out to California.
Yeah.
Now, there's been missionaries all over. Yeah. Don't misunderstand. But this was the place that God was calling them, and I thought it was so fantastic.
Yeah.
Acts 23, verse 11. And the night following, this is now when, this is not when he's on the ship, mm-hmm. but nevertheless, listen carefully. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. Cheer up, Paul. See, the Lord himself appeared to Paul.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Now, God can do what he wants to, and if he appears to somebody, that's his business. Okay, but he gives us his word. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. Why does he need to appear to us? The same faith is there that Paul had when he appeared to Paul, you see. Now, don't misunderstand. God can do anything he wants to do. If he decides to start appearing to people and things like this, I read about a man today who started out as a Christian. They got away from God and had a near-death experience, you know, and everything. And got to watch these near-death experiences. They're getting to be quite a bit. They really are. This is the last recorded time that our Lord uses it. Now, what's the summary here? Let me just summarize. Got a couple of minutes here. And it says, he says this. God gives us assurance, first of all, that we're forgiven. Assurance. By faith. And then he says, we're saved by faith. Okay? We didn't have... thief on the cross didn't have to do anything but believe.
That's right.
Do you know that? Jesus didn't ask him, now son, you're a sinner. You need to confess your sin first. And sometimes we think, matter of fact, we had a missionary come through, was over at Victory. And the missionary's wife said, I was trusting in my prayer that I was saved.
Yeah.
And I wasn't trusting in Jesus.
Yeah.
I never heard that before. And I thought that was wild. She was trusting in the fact that she prayed the sinner's prayer. She said it. And she was honest. That's what I was trusting in. You see. And this is what's so fascinating about it. So we're saved by faith. We're not alone. He's with us. Well, Brother Brett Percuchin, he's a fine fellow. And he says, lock me up. He sings that song, lock me up in a prison, throw away the key, you know. And take all everything away from me. But I'm still free.
That's right.
I'm still free. That's the whole idea. We're needed by Him. We don't think about it that way, but God uses us to win people. We're helped by Him, and then we're also used by Him. So it's just get in and start reading, okay? And get and a good. Like I said, this here, if you've already taken it, and just you may not want to hear this, but let me share it with you. God ain't going to do anything until we get started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know that? He wants to see. All through the scriptures, He wants to see. See, oh, He knows all about. No, He wants to see me reading. He wants to see me pray, you see, and living for Him. Heavenly Father, time to stop.